Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empower to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I am very, very excited on tonight to be able to share the word of God. Why? Because I'm still here. I could, as my old friend used to say, be experiencing a dirt nap. But praise God, God has blessed me to be in this system with another inspirational word. But not only that, but a testimony that I, too, can be and fulfill the assignment that he has placed upon my heart and my life. and to encourage you to fulfill yours. Now, one of the coolest things that I believe about God is that he is true to his word. And because he is true to his word, it gives me motivation. It gives me inspiration to be able to present to you. And so I'm grateful that you tuned in on this wonderful Monday night. I'm grateful because it's one we've never seen and one we'll never see again. And so for those of you, praise God, that are tuning in for the very, very, very first time, welcome. Welcome to Empower to Change, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I am grateful that God gives me an opportunity to encourage those that are in my company or under my voice, because praise God, we're in a dying world and people need to be encouraged. And so what better way to be encouraged than be encouraged by the word of God? And then he also gave me an assignment to educate. And so it may not be a brand new topic that you've never heard before, but it'll definitely be one because he will give it to you for you to have so that you can expound on it, get more information, and do what is necessary. So not only will you learn something, but you'll be empowered to make the changes that he lays on your heart to change. I can't do that, but he can. And not only can he empower you to make the necessary changes, he can empower you to empower others. And so we're praying that this message won't fall on deaf ears, that it will fall on your ears and the necessary changes will be made. And then, praise God, you'll share it with someone else. So again, welcome to Empower to Change, that you will be encouraged, educated, and empowered. And then for those of you, praise God, can you believe we're moving and getting closer and closer to me being able to say 11 years? I've been in this thing, and you have been here with me 11 years. I mean, amen. 10 years, that was hard enough to say. But you have been with me, whether you've been with me for 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 5 years, 4 years, 2 days. Amen. I am grateful because you're praying for me. You're encouraging me. You're keeping me motivated to study, to show myself, to rightly approve God's word. But more importantly, you're helping me be empowered to do what God has called me to do, and that is to continue to teach, to continue to live out this word, and to be an example of what, praise God, he lays on my heart to share every week. And you hold me accountable, those of you that know. You call me on the carpet when I'm having those moments so that I can, too, remember. Because this ain't just about, you know, us dialing in. This is for me, too. And so I'm grateful that you remind me of that. And so I will always be indebted to you and make sure that I acknowledge. Because without your prayers and encouragement, don't know I would have made it this far. And so I thank you for that. Now, I really thank Tammy and Jesse Stewart. And I will always call them by name because, praise God, them and the Mega Ministry Group, they continue to pray. They continue to be the examples, and they continue to be the leaders that hold the torch and what it means to do what God has called you to do, especially in this hour. And so I will always acknowledge them by name, and so I will thank them and honor them, and because we're supposed to give recognition to those that bless us and encourage. Amen. Now, our biggest praise and our greatest praise has to go to my Father and your Father. And whether you even know it or not, he's all of our fathers. Whether you accepted him or not, he is our Father. And so we want to make sure we always start the broadcast with an upbeat song, because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And when he says no, nobody can say yes. And so for whatever reason, that song just really motivates me. And even when I'm unsure, and even following into the lesson, talking about doubt, even when I doubt, that song and starting the broadcast, it does something to me, and it helps me erase everything that I brought to the table before I started to do this lesson. So nevertheless, we want to make sure that we give him all honor and praise by giving him and honoring him in prayer. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us another opportunity to do what is necessary to make sure that we're in right standings with you. We thank you for allowing us to have the word that gives us the roadmap that we need. Whether we read it every day like we should or not, Father, it's there and we have access to it. We thank you. And not only do we have access to your word in book form, but you provided us to have it in tablet phones, cell phones, and devotionals, and all just many avenues that we can read your word. We thank you for that. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, that when we get caught up or we get tied up or we get tangled up, that the Holy Spirit can kind of jolt us and help us to understand that it's not our time, or it is our time, or it's time to be quiet, or it's time to speak. It gives us those indications that we need to move, when we need to move, and when we need to be still. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to know without the sacrifice that you dumbed yourself down to come to the cross, or come to earth, and then go to the cross on our behalf, and to shed blood so that the price could be paid for us to have salvation and live eternally with you. We thank you, and we don't take that lightly, because if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, then none of us would have access to you. And so we thank you, thank you, thank you for doing all those things and continuing to bless us and mold us and keep us in your care, so that we can all be one with you and have an understanding when life throws its fiery darts and the enemy throws his crazy darts, that we'll be able to stand and we'll be able to move and function and have our being because we trust you. We know that you are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we can absolutely positively do nothing. So, Father, I thank you. We thank you. And we pray that this word will come forth, that it will not be hindered, it will not be distracted, and that it will fall on good ground and good seed will come from it. And it will flourish 100, 1,000, 1 billion times fold, so that those who are under the message and the blessing of this word as it's taken root will be blessed. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we adore you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. I'm happy that you've tuned in on this wonderful Monday night. One, that I was kind of unsure on what to talk about because I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. And so it's just interesting to me how different each day develops, and how some days you're so excited because you're looking forward to it, and then there's days it's like, okay, Lord, what else can I endure? And then there's some days it's like, oh, Lord, how much longer do I have to do this? I think I'm ready to come on home. But nevertheless, we strive to do the assignment that you put us here for. We thank you that Jeremiah 29:11 is plain for all of us to know that we all have an assignment, all of us, no matter how you got here or where you got or who you came through, what parents you have, what city you were raised and born in. God knew from the beginning. He knew from the time that you were placed in your mother's womb, and he knew what womb to place us in, so that we would grow and develop, whether it was dysfunctional or whether it was the best, however the circumstances was. He determined that, and because he knew that, he knew what we would go through. And because he knew what we would go through, he knew what to place in our lives to help us get through whatever obstacles, even the triumphs. He knew what we would need to keep us centered, because some of us can go through some stuff and amen, get beside ourselves, and we need something to make sure that we stay focused, because we always want to recognize that we don't do anything in ourselves. We do everything through his word, but mainly because the assignment that he proposed on our lives before we even got here. And because his word doesn't go back to him void, we have to fulfill the assignment that he chooses. So, as I said in the beginning of this long-winded statement, I was confused a little bit about what God really wanted me to share on tonight. And because I have so many things going on, where to go, where to stay, who to go with, who not to go with, whether I go to work, whether I don't go to work, it's pressing. And it's pressing because I like knowing the end before the beginning. And so I like having a plan or having at least an indication of the destiny that I'm going in. This walking blindly, I struggle sometimes with that because I have, me and my mentor was talking this week, and I was we laughed because oftentimes I find myself trying to help him and be the junior Holy Spirit, And she often reminds me, Leah, you know, no matter how much you think you're helping people or how much you think you're aiding, or because God has given you the gift of wisdom, that he's given you some insight and that you can see, and that he has given you the spirit of prophecy to some degree so you can see things before they happen. All of that means nothing when it comes to his plan. It's his plan. It's not yours. It's his plan. And so in the midst of that, I sometimes get choked up because it's not moving as fast as I want it to move. And then sometimes I get frustrated, and I get frustrated because it's hard for me to accept foolishness. And as much as I was crazy and foolish and doing the things that I was doing when I was younger, I'm grateful that God grew me up kind of fast. And he grew me up really fast. And he gave me a father that knew the power of wisdom, and he made me pray wisdom, that I see things faster than most. And so I get frustrated when things don't seem like they should connect with people. And even more so now, it does frustrate me how nasty people are to each other. I mean, I know we can't predict the future, not always, not definitely not in our own spirit. And I know sometimes we have to experience things before we can really get a full understanding. But sometimes common sense seems like it would just be, you finish your food, put it in the trash. That seems common to me. But common sense, as my father used to say, ain't common to everybody. And so that's why it's important for us to guide, lead, teach, and influence. And I guess that's why God made me a teacher. But in doing that, it's almost an oxymoron at times for me, because I know how this is going to end. And I get frustrated because I don't know how to communicate it properly sometimes to make sure that the person that I'm talking to or teaching, they don't have to endure the pain of making the mistakes, because most of our mistakes, we have to deal with the consequences that come from them. And so sometimes it's just so hard for me to accept. And I know that it's a big word because that ain't my business. But it is. It's hard for me to accept the consequences that people willingly go through. Willingly. I haven't arrived. And so a lot of the mistakes that I have made, I've done some of them intentionally, knowing that I was going to have to deal with the consequences. And so just as God gives me grace, I have to give those grace. But I have a problem when it comes to inflicting pain and hurt and harm on people. And so sometimes I question, Lord, is it really worth it? Is it worth me doing all that I have to do? And then, you know, my girlfriend told me that made much, much, much sense to me. She said, Leah, you come from a place of hardship because you're a mom, you're a teacher, you're a minister, and you counsel people. And so with all of that, it's just in you to help people do things right. And so sometimes I get caught up because I forget which role I'm supposed to be in, because for me, they're intertwined. And I don't like being wishy-washy and changing hats, because I've done that too long. And I've gotten to a point where wearing all those different masks, you get confused. And so I don't want to do that no more. I want to be authentic, and I want to be myself. And so doing that sometimes, it causes me to hurt harder and longer than necessary, because what I think moves me the most is that God feels the same way, but to a greater capacity, because he knows all. And he knows every person on this planet when they're doing. I just know the people that are in my presence. So I can only imagine how frustrated I am, how drastically it must be frustrating for him to know that he's provided all these blessings for us, provided all these tools, provided all these resources for us to do right, and we choose to do wrong. And it's not that we do it because we don't know what we're doing. We know what we're doing, and we do it. And so, like I said, you know, and then, you know, we're fallible, we're human, so we're going to make mistakes. But some of the mistakes that I have challenges with is just being nasty and mean to people. I just, it bothers me. And so talking about a lesson, I read 2 Timothy 3. And I like that it starts out by saying, but mark this. And so by mark this, even for that to be the segue into this set of scriptures, means pay attention. Mark this. Put it down. Write it down. However you need it. Remember it. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasures and lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then it says, after all that, have nothing to do with such people. Oh, I love it. I love it. So let's thank the Lord that that would be nobody. Amen. But nevertheless, it says there are the kind who worm their way into our homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sin and who are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Now, amen. That says gullible women, but you know, amen. That falls to us men. But no, I said us, amen. I'm not a man. For those men too, amen. And swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Verse 7. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I want to start there. Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Me and a girlfriend talk often about how funny it is how we judge people and how we believe that the people at church are the best people in the world and how they never do nothing wrong because they are always on their best behavior at church, and that's the only time we see them, one day a week. And those of us that go every Sunday, amen, hats off to you. So I'll give you 52 days, amen, in a year that you see these people, if you just see them on Sunday, and how we immediately believe however they behave at churches, that's how they behave the rest of the week. When the Bible clearly says in the last days people are going to be whatever. So when we judge so incorrectly. And so the Bible says that we shouldn't judge, but it says that we can be aware of people's fruit. And so we have to be mindful of that, and we have to make sure that we remember what the word when we have challenges with people. And there has been times when I have, just in disappointment, shared such and such and such, I'm just disappointed. Well, no, they never do that. Excuse me? Well, how would you know? Because they never done that to me. Okay, because they never done it to you doesn't make them that person. Amen. And so we have to be mindful. And it's not just, I don't want to isolate this church, but this is work, this is school, just people in general. We all have the predisposed to making errors, to doing things that are out of character, to doing things out of order. So to say that somebody is always upstanding and upright, we can't do that because the word clearly says that we're all going to fall to at least some of this. And there's a lot of adjectives he used on how we're going to be terrible during these last days. And this is where we are. We are in these last days. And so when I get frustrated, I have to go back to the scripture and remind myself. Today, I was at an office, and I was explaining myself, and I wrote it down to make sure that I said what I needed to say correctly. And I wrote it down exactly how they, and showed them how they wrote it to me. And she was so agitated because I had a question. And I thought, this is your job to answer questions. And you didn't actually write this particular letter. So I needed to make sure, because the lady that I went to see, she took it upon herself, knowing I was coming, made the appointment, but she said she was going to lunch. And if I had questions, I could ask somebody in the office And then if they couldn't answer, she could call later. So to me, that was rude. But I could get past that because, again, we're there by ourselves, you know. But anyway, but it was just, and she could, I could see her catch herself at times. Excuse me? Now, anybody else probably would have gave her some choice words because some of the responses that she was giving was very, very, very unprofessional for her to be in a position where she is supposed to be on her best behavior because she wants me to take advantage of the services that she's providing. That pays for her salary. But nevertheless, I was just moved by how nasty she continued to grow doing her job or what she was supposed to do. And I thought to myself, Lord, please, please keep me from doing that. What makes us do that? What makes us not be considerate to other people when we're doing a service for someone else? And most of us are in that capacity, whether we believe it or not, because we're parents, because we're siblings, we have relationships. We all have a responsibility to those titles, quote unquote, that we have. Whether we're honest to ourselves or not, we judge and we blame people and we operate in our emotions and our feelings. And sometimes we come across rude. But a couple of weeks ago when we had our discussion, we talked about, so you want me to lie to you? So in many cases, people want you to just buff them up and puff them up and make them feel righteous. Lie if necessary so that everybody's feelings can be on the up and up. And nobody gets to take accountability and own whatever it is that they're going through. I would have rather this lady said, you know, I'm really having a bad day, so I'm probably going to be a little short with you. So can you forgive me ahead of time? That's owning your stuff, being upfront. You know, I'm not in the mood for talking. But the other person has to accept it as I'm not being rude. I'm telling you that, you know, today is not a good day. And so let's, you know, pray for me and work around. But sometimes many people leave us in this place where we doubt. And that's the thing that I think that God really wants us to highlight today is how do we overcome this doubt? How do we, you know, just doubt all people? Because I had a bad experience, so I'm not going back to that church because all the people are crazy. Or I'm not going back to that job because all those people are crazy. Or I'm not going to, you know, go back to this store or go back to this restaurant. We doubt the sincerity. We doubt the validity. We doubt the realness, the wholeness of people. How do we overcome? So we wouldn't be with anybody because it goes back to that scripture where it says, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power have nothing to do with such people. It makes you want to not deal with people at all. But how do we get past that? Because we have to overcome that, because how then do we minister to people? How then do we seek or lead people to seek God for themselves? If we just banish all these people with proud, abusive, disobedient behaviors, ungrateful, how do we minister the light to them if those of us that claim to know Christ, those of us that believe in him, how do we overcome, they ain't going to never change, they ain't going to get it together. How do we overcome that power, doubting that, you know, God will fix them? How do we overcome that maybe I'm going to wait and let God fix that, that I have to, like I was trying to be the junior Holy Spirit, I have to fix them. How do I say, no, God's got that, and leave it alone and not doubt that they'll never change because they ain't going to never, that's a form of doubt. And so when I looked up the definition of doubt, you know, I'm a firm believer that we should always look up words because sometimes we think we know the real meaning. We know the base meaning because we use the word often enough. But I like looking up the word so that I can have a full understanding, so to make sure that I'm not guilty of using the word incorrectly or I'm not operating in the word incorrectly. And so doubt says feel uncertain about, a feeling of not knowing what to believe or what to do, or the condition of being uncertain. I think a lot of us are in this position, and many times I mean, just life in general. But how do we overcome that? Well, how do you overcome to get the better of somehow to gain superior and win? So how do we do that? How do we, well, one, we can't do it in ourselves. But we can't do nothing in and of ourselves. And that's why I love John 15:5, where it says, I am the vine. God saying, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, praise God, you will bear much fruit, and that fruit will remain. Because without me, you can do nothing. 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 And sometimes I think we get caught up because I can tie my shoes. I can pour myself a glass of water. I can make the best Kool-Aid, great Kool-Aid for me, as my daughter calls it, Georgia Aid. I think that's what she called it. But nevertheless, we think that because we do certain things that we're doing it in and of ourselves. But we got to give all things to God, all things. Waking up, that is a God thing. That ain't the alarm clock. That ain't your cell phone chiming. Yes, our eyes are open, but they didn't have to. Yes, we get out of bed and go run to the bathroom or run, brush our teeth, and get, throw our clothes on and get to work. That's all God. And that's why I end the broadcast daily with, weekly, with start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day. We got to at least acknowledge God at some point. And if you can't do it in the morning, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Lord, I thank you for blessing me throughout the day. You got me back home. And then, Lord, I thank you that you're going to let me sleep safe and keep me and my family and my belongings covered till we wake up again tomorrow. I mean, if that's all the prayer you do for the day, amen, at least you acknowledge him in the morning, throughout the day. At some point, you did it in the middle of the day, and then definitely before you went to sleep. Amen. And even if you have to wake up in the middle of, whoo, thank you, Lord, for letting me be able to still wake up and shelter. I'm not outside. I'm not cold. I have heat. I have air. Well, there are so many things for us to pray that we have to. Amen. We need to talk to God, and we need to do it more often. So the word says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's Romans 12:21. How do we do that? We have to be focused. We have to be conscious. That's what changes our behavior so that when people see us in the last days that we're kind and we're good, because we're trying to overcome evil with good, because we're asking God, Lord, give me godly thoughts. Give me kind words. Give me kind thoughts. Because what you think about, you talk about. What you talk about, you bring about. So we got to be mindful, because within our heart comes out of our mouths. So if you're nasty in your heart, amen, that's how you're going to come off in your mouth. So how do you change? I tell my children often, things don't just change because you want them to. You have to put some actions to it. And first and foremost, you have to start by giving it to God. So I can be nasty at times. And you know when you're nasty. And you know when you're doing things that are slanderous. You know when you're doing things that you're being disobedient to your parents and those in an authority. I think sometimes we get so caught up with, oh, well, my parents ain't, so I can say that honestly. My parents, they live in, so I'm good. No, that doesn't go to just parents. That's people in authority. You have to be obedient. When God puts you under some rule of somebody, I mean, if you believe he blessed you with this job, then you are under that leadership, under that that authoritative doctrine. Because, amen, if you don't believe it, then maybe you ain't supposed to be there. Because we have to be committed to wherever authority God places us under. That's why it says to obey the laws of the land. So we have to be obedient to the, as long as it's following the word of God, of course. But we're supposed to be obedient to the laws of the land. So we have to be obedient to the rule of President Obama and whoever is in office. You know, some of us didn't respect too much, you know, respecting, you know, the last president, but at the end of the day, God had him in office. And so we have to obey the laws of the land because he blesses us. Now we do our part, he'll do his part. And that's why it's so comical to me how people argue about politics and other topics, about things that we can't control. Yes, we vote, and yes, we are responsible for uplifting and upholding the laws of the land. But at the end of the day, if we trust God, God is in control of that. So it don't matter who's in the office, whether it's your favorite party or not. It don't matter. God is in control if we give it to him. But if we're leading and guiding in our own knowledge and in our own way, then amen. Consequences. Amen. But never mind. So, but back to overcoming. So how do we overcome the things that are going on in our lives that are not positive, that we know that we're out of order with the things of God? First, again, we have to learn how to overcome evil with good, because that's what the word says. I like that Joshua says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Joshua 16:33. So I was talking again to my mentor this week, and she was saying, Leah, you know, there's a lot of things on your plate, and you just got to believe that God is doing whatever he needs to be doing, because he has a plan, and he knows your witness, and he knows you'll testify, and he knows you'll give him grace. So endure whatever it is that you're going through, but allow him to give you the peace. Don't you search for the peace. You allow him to give you the peace, and take heart in knowing that he has overcome them all, not some things. I believe that, then why am I walking around with doubt? Why am I troubled? Why am I operating in disbelief? So many times when I remember, or I get myself caught up, and that's why I'm so grateful. That's why I had to call Jesse and Tammy's name out every week, because had I not had this platform, I probably wouldn't be studying as often and as hard as I do, because I know me. I need a platform. I need a reason to study as hard as I do. Now, there are times that I really have the thirst of God, and I'm just, whew, amen, take classes, go to seminars, do all kinds of stuff. So I'm thirsty. But there are times that, amen, I'm full. And when I'm full, I don't study as hard as I should. And unfortunately, you would think that I would learn this pattern. That's when the enemy attacks me the most, because I'm not studying. And when you study the word, you believe the word, because it's before you. And that's why it's so important that we keep the word before us, because when I'm thirsty, amen, when they told me I had cancer, that didn't mean nothing to me, nothing, not nothing, literally nothing, because I was focused, because praise God, I had already was told I had COVID. So I was studying. I was thirsty because I needed to know. Well, I need to take this. I can't breathe, and they can't figure out what's wrong with me. They keep saying negative, but I keep feeling positive. You got to help me. And then when they said, oh, it's cancer, I'm like, oh, okay. I wasn't moved. I wasn't moved. I wasn't moved at all, because I knew that that wasn't unto death, because God had already revealed to me that COVID wasn't unto death for me. So, amen, it wasn't nothing cancer could do. And then, of course, and then when the heart attack and the strokes came, it was like, oh, Lord, okay, I still trust you. I still believe you. And it's so funny how those things never bothered me. I get tripped up when people act nasty. I get tripped up when my children aren't being obedient. That's the, Lord, why won't that? That stuff tripped me up. But nevertheless, whatever it is, we have to recognize God has overcome all of it. And so if he's overcome all of it, why don't we give it to him? And so many times here lately, people, Leah, you're so strong. Leah, I can't believe how, you know, you're just going through all this. I just can't. And it doesn't faze me. It doesn't faze me, because it's not that I'm strong, because I want to get off this train too. What it is I'm consistent. And my girlfriend helped me understand that because of my authenticity, I really want to be real with God. I really do. And then because of my mentor making me understand, it is okay to say, Lord, I'm upset with you because it wasn't supposed to last this long. And I communicate. I literally have communications with God. So it's easy for me to get into the word and have discussions with God. You know, people call that prayer, and some people don't understand that that's prayer, but I am having a conversation with my Father, and I'm expecting answers, because if he talks to me, I should be able to say what I need to say to him. He already knows it's in my heart. So you have to be honest, and you have to be real with him, but you got to be real when he gives you the responses and gives you the antidote of what you need to do to fix it, because you can't be screaming at God, and then he gives you the answer, and then you ignore it. That's when the hard consequences come. he gives us the grace to say what we need to say because he knows we're human. So I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this no more. I need a reprieve. I need you to give me something. And so I've been saying that quite a bit here lately. And then it came to me. It came to me. And I right now we're in an Airbnb, and they have this apartment was designed for little people. I'm coming because the beds are low, the couch is low, the bar stools are low. And so anyway, I had the bar stool in front of me, and I was writing. And I realized it reminded me of a potter's wheel, and it reminded me of clay. And then it was like the Holy Spirit just gave me the vision that I was the clay and that God was molding me. And that when I went through the cancer and I went through the heart attacks and I went through all of these crazy challenges, that was the kneading. I don't know if any of you know about clay. And it also reminded me, too, because my sisters are in Minnesota and I'm not there, but nevertheless, it reminded me of second grade when I first had an opportunity to mold something, and I made something for my father. I made him a coffee mug. And it was the coolest thing because we got to play with the clay. And so in the playing with the clay, we had all these different tools. We had scissors and we had knives and we had all these kind of things. Like we were cutting up the clay and then we put it back together and then we throw it down on the table and we were laughing and poking at it and putting stuff that probably didn't deserve to be in it, and just how we were having fun. And I envisioned how the enemy, when he's given an opportunity, how he likes to have fun with us and toy with us and just poke us and do all the kind of things that he feels that he can do. All the while knowing, just as the teacher was still monitoring, she didn't let us eat it. She didn't let us destroy it beyond repair, but she allowed us to use the clay for us to be comfortable with it. And then once we became comfortable, then she showed us how to mold it into the things that we wanted. And like I said, I wanted to make a coffee mug because I knew my father made coffee, a coffee mug for my father. And so as I started to mold it, she gave us the molder or whatever you call the little shaper that helped set the clay in the shape that we wanted, and then how we got it in the shape, and then how we had to make sure that we made sure that all the edges were smooth, and then those of us that wanted to put a handle, we could put a handle on. And I could see myself going through that process. All the things that I had gone through, all the feelings of abandonment and loneliness and disregard, and how I felt like I was trash, and all those things were all the things that I did to that clay. And then eventually it started to have shape, and I could see that it was going to be a coffee mug, what I had envisioned, what I wanted it to be. Just as God had envisioned what we are designed to be. We are going through our molding process. And so when we have trials and we have tribulations, we have things that cause us to doubt, we have to remember this is part of our molding process. And so now that I've gone through quite a bit of things, and I thought about it. And so a couple of days ago, I even started to write some of those things. I'm like, well, I've experienced quite a bit of stuff that people haven't gone through in a lifetime. I've lost my vision. I've had casts. I couldn't walk. I could really, Lord, something. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to look like when I come out of that fiery furnace. But I know because the way I remember that mug was kind of tarnished and dusty and ugly. And then when we painted it, it still didn't look pretty. I mean, but when it came out of that fiery furnace, and I had all those little speckled things on there that didn't look like they had no shape, how they, I mean, made that glass just vibrate. And then it was vibrant, and I mean, it was beautiful, and then it was shiny, and it was amazing. And then I got to remember, I made that. I did that. Of course, God helped me. But it made me understand the process that, yes, Lord, I think I'm past the kneading part. Thank you. I think I'm past the beating and the poking part. I think I'm being in the part where I'm being shaped. And so I'm still being scraped because my edges ain't, there's still some rough edges. And so, you know, he has to smooth those edges out. And so I'm grateful for the places where I am. I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't always cross my T's and I don't always dot my I's. I may not say the right words. I may not eat the right foods. I may not take my medicine on time. I may not be the weight that I'm supposed to be. I may not read as often as I should. I may not be on time, like I said. Whatever it is that we're all facing that's preventing us from being that shiny mug, we're getting there. And we're almost there because we are in the last days. But what my challenge is to each of us is to assess yourself. Don't be any of these adjectives that God described that people would become in the last days. We can't be boastful. We can't be prideful. We can't be just nasty and ugly and operate without self-control. Be lovers more of ourselves than other people. Lovers of money, got to have all. You know, I mean, it's so many things. Read 2 Timothy 3. I mean, it's so many things that so many of us have been caught up and trapped in. And the only way that we can be delivered from these things is by going to God, because the enemy, his job is to steal, kill, and destroy, and to blind us from believing that we're any of these things that's to hear. I know that many of these words have slapped me in the face, many of them, but I can lie and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a minister, I ain't none of them things. Matter of fact, I'm like verse 5. I have nothing to do with them kind of people. Lies, 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 lies. I know that I'm some of them words, amen, and that I need help, and that I don't do them all the time, but there could be some of them I am all the time. I just don't recognize it because the enemy wants us to stay deceived, but that's the whole point of deception. And so some of you know that I study the enemy because I'm writing a book about him, and so it does fascinate me. It fascinates me to know in that the enemy is that skilled at his job that he can make you believe that you're something that you're not. And you don't even know it because you're deceived. The whole point, the whole definition of deception, that we're walking around believing that we're something that we're actually not, or looking like we're something that we're not. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Shallow Hal and how this girl, she was heavy. And so this guy, I don't know how he got to the point where he couldn't see her for how she was. He saw her how he envisioned her. And so people were confused because he kept acting as if she was like a size 3 and she was actually a size 30. And so the whole movie, she was confused because he talked to her and treated her like she was a size 3. When she knew and everybody else knew she was a size 30, but he couldn't see it, deceived. And it wasn't until something he did at the end where he actually got to see her for who she was and how she was. Well, praise God, the movie ended good because he loved her despite however she was. And that's what we have to be. We have to love people in spite of however they appear. But we got to believe and treat them how God wants them to be. And so that's when we get caught up, because she's nasty, and people tease me all the time. They're like, why do you care? Why do you care? I'm like, because that's not how God sees them. And so if I could be the only light, but I get caught up, as I said, trying to be the Holy Spirit, so I've had to back up and learn to stay in my lane, amen, because that's God's job. But nevertheless, when he gives me the assignment, then you better believe I'm going to go to the 10th power, because he gave me the assignment. But I can't go in front of him. But nevertheless, we have to know without a shadow of a doubt that we're being true to ourselves. And that's why I like the last part of this charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. It says, you, however, know all of my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecutions, my sufferings, and what kinds of things have happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecution I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. He rescued me from them all. And it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. So sorry. But nevertheless, we will be persecuted. But nevertheless, it says, we'll be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those things from who you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. And then my favorite scripture of them all, outside of John 15:5, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God might be thoroughly, not partially, not a little bit, but thoroughly equipped for every, not some, not when you get this age, not when you come to this side of the world or that side, but in every good work, every good work. And so when people approach me, oh, Leah, you know, because you see that I'm having a good time, that I'm struggling. I'm not struggling. I mean, it looks that way. But many times I am so at peace because I know this is not the end. I know I'm about to be a pretty little coffee mug, amen, that somebody's going to sit on. They ain't going to use me for coffee because I'm going to be too pretty, amen. I know what stage I'm in. And so when people say, Leah, you know, pray authentic in the things of God, just as I want to pray for you that you stay consistent. You may not be as beat up as me, but trust and believe, I know you're going through stuff too, because the word says you are. I ain't the only one on the end of Satan's, you know, torment. Amen. All of us. It is his job to play with all of us. His job. But we can overcome them because Jesus said he's overcome them all. And so because he's overcome them all, we got to believe that. And we got to believe that this word was designed for all of us, not just me, for you, for your neighbor, for your loved ones, your haters, everybody, all of us are governed by this word, every single one of us, from the beginning to the end. This word was God-breathed for all of us. And I love how people try to twist the word to make it for themselves. Amen. No. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important for us to know what part of this word is exactly for me and what part of this word is for me for another time. Because praise God, it's almost like school. And I think sometimes we take the Bible so for granted and we try to take it for its word. We do, but we have to be wise because we can't operate in all because then that make us God. No, that's why we study to learn, to grow, to mature. Amen. You can give a child a dictionary in kindergarten. That don't make the word not true. It just ain't true to them because they can't read it. But they still have to, they will eventually will read it. They still have to live out the words that are in that book. But they have to mature to understand the sounds, first and foremost. Well, no, not even the sounds. Recognize what it is to even get to the sound. And then once they recognize the letter and the sound, then they can put it together with other words. I mean, it's a process. All of it. Our life with Christ is a process. And if we don't get that together, saints, amen, we will be lost in the last days and we'll succumb to all of these adjectives that were at the beginning of 2 Timothy 3:3. Amen. So I know that I can keep talking because I love to talk about the things of God, but I'm never, ever out of talk, but I am out of time. And I got to close the broadcast. I know. But tune in next week for another inspiring word where God will give us another lesson for us to learn and grow and glean from so that we can be great stewards for him. I can't stress enough why it's important for us to live the life that's pleasing for him. Because when we do, then praise God, we don't have to worry about the aftermath. We know we're going to live with him and be with him. But if I could just give you one quick little thing, I love doing acoustic. And so for doubt, the D is for, you got to have discernment. The O, we got to overcome because we know that Jesus overcame. You have to operate unafraid. You can't operate in fear. You have to be, you have to believe, and then T, you have to trust. So use discernment. Know that you've overcome. Do everything unafraid. Believe the word of God and trust that he will deliver you. Amen. And then focus on 2 Timothy 3:3. Like I said, I'm out of time and I have to close the broadcast. I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to Him. And he really does. I know she's my number one listener, and I know I have many number one listeners, but I have to close. And so I'm hoping that my daughter can play the closing song. Amen, because for whatever reason, I can't pull it up. But she always listens to Every Praise, and a couple of my girlfriends listen to that song, too. And so Every Praise Belongs to God. So again, tune in next week where we'll have another inspiring word. This is Leah Killing, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I am grateful that you came and tuned in to be encouraged, to be educated, and to be empowered all to the glory of God. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And remember, always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and then end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, 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 wonderful evening. Be blessed and tune in again. Good night. Let me hear the worshipers.